Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, I'm Gavin Emmett, and this is the BT Sport MotoGP podcast. And the season already seems far too far away now, doesn't it? But to fill your racing boots in the meantime, we've got this special episode with Moto3 world champion Brad Binder, where he looks back on his 2016 season and discusses his future career plans. It's a great listen, so enjoy.
So, Brad, 2016 Moto3 world champion. Has it sunk in yet?
Not really. Honestly, everything's carrying on as normal. You know, it was a bit strange. Like, I didn't understand what was going on the week after Aragon, because I expected something different, but...
What did you expect?
I don't know. I don't know what to expect, but I expected something different. And honestly, like, you know, I woke up on Monday morning, went cycling. We went for a little cycle, like, well, we had the test, so Tuesday morning woke up, went cycling, and, you know, everything I'd been doing since the first day of December was planning to try and win the championship. And then when it was all over, I was kind of thinking to myself, you know what, now? But, yeah, it was good. I had a good time.
There's been 9 different winners this year in Moto3, but you've clearly stood out. You've clearly been head and shoulders above the rest. Why?
You know, I definitely wouldn't say far above the rest, but, you know, I think this year I've been really consistent. I mean, out of all the races this year, it's only 3 races I haven't finished on the podium. So, you know, I think a lot of it comes down to having such an amazing team behind me. You know, we arrive to the track, we have a great base setting. You know, they've got so much experience. And, you know, we always go into the weekend with the plan already worked out. So I think that's definitely got a lot to do with all the results this season.
Yeah, so what do you... Yeah, you put that down, because this is down to the team. There's got to be a lot of yourself about the preparation that you did from December. You mentioned that's where your season started. So what did you do?
You know, in December, I looked at this year as, you know, this is my last chance. If I want to actually try and make a career out of this season, well, out of this, I need... It's all going to be this season. So, you know, in December, I trained flat out. You know, I took 1 week off, and then since then was full gas. Every morning I woke up was with the aim to try and win the championship. And, you know, I think, you know, in the off-season, I think I made quite a big step, because last year, there were many points where I struggled a lot, like in the qualifying and to try hold a good rhythm and all of these things. And, you know, all winter, this is what I really try to work on. And it was strange, because as soon as I jumped on the bike for the first time in Valencia, these points that I was really weak in, I seemed to have improved. And I wasn't really riding much in the off season, you know? So I think something clicked, and I hope it stays.
Do you really feel it was a make or break year for you, that, you know, not that it'd be the end of your career, but if you really wanted to be a success, you had to do it this year? Is that what you honestly felt?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is my 5th season in Moto3. So, you know, I wanted to go to Moto2 already this year. And thank God I never, you know. But, you know, I felt like this year is it. You know, I need to come in, I need to get great results, do well every weekend. And hopefully, if I can do the best job possible at the end of the year, we got the world championship. And yeah, we got the job done, so I'm pretty stoked.
Do you feel like you're easily the best rider in the class?
No, not at all. I mean, you know, when I go out and I race the guys, I'm almost always in a group with 10, 12 other riders. I just feel like I have a bit more experience, and maybe I have a little bit left in my pocket, you know, where the other guys might be pushing at their 100%. I feel sometimes I'm riding at 90, you know. So then for the last three laps, I can almost try position myself exactly where I want to be and basically just put myself in the correct position to try and cross the line first.
And of course, you hadn't won until this season, and then you had that unbelievable first win in Jerez. Not only your first win, but from the back of the grid. Yeah. How important was that to you?
You know, it was so strange because I couldn't understand why I couldn't win one race before, and then they put me at the back of the grid and I managed to actually win. So it was a bit weird at the beginning. But, you know, that's where everything changed pretty much. After then, I really believed, you know, like, okay, this is my year and I can try and win a lot more races.
Was there a mental change?
I wouldn't say it's a full-on mental change. It was just that, you know, I'd come second, I don't know how many times. And seconds and thirds, I'd had plenty of podiums, but I just had not won a race yet. I'd been close, but just never got the job done. And then after that, it just seemed more easy. I don't know why. Something clicked.
Because that start was brilliant, wasn't it, to the year? You were at seven consecutive podiums from the start of the season. That obviously has been the key to your whole year, to start that well. So why were you able to do that? Why were you able to get on the podium every time? Is it down to experience?
You know, I think basically we haven't got to a track where we've had one track this year where I really struggled. And all weekend it looked like I was going to struggle to come 10th. And then in the race, I tried everything I possibly could and I came third. And that was in Texas. So after that, every other weekend, everything's pretty much worked out well for us. And, you know, when I arrive to a track, before I've even done one lap, I know all my braking markers. We have all the data from previous years. And I don't know why, but it just feels like everything almost, it comes together.
And was the pressure on you that time, with Miguel having just missed out on the title last year and he'd moved up, did you feel the pressure from inside the team, from KTM?
No. Well, obviously there was a bit of pressure. You know, I knew I had to get good results. But at the end of the day, you know, Aki was, he's really good at keeping you calm. You know, he basically just explained to me, you know, at the end of the year, it's not down to how many races you win, but it's like a lot of the consistency and it's the work you put in all weekend. You know, if you arrive in pre-practice one, work, give you 110%, by the time you arrive to the race, you're ready for it, you know? And I think that's one thing we've made quite a big step in, because last year I was really focused on just trying to see my name on top of the timesheet, where at the end of the day, this year, I don't care if I'm 7th, 8th, you know, but if I have really good rhythm, that's all I worry about. And then you kind of start the race and you see the guys that are putting these 1-2 really fast laps, they end up being nowhere really. So it's all about rhythm in Moto3, it seems like.
Having Aki as a team boss must instill you with confidence. He's been there, he's done that. He's won the championships with Marc Márquez, with Cortesi, with Mike Di Meglio as well. So is that where the calm comes from, do you think?
You know, I think he's got his own system. You know, Aki's an incredibly special guy. You know, he has his way, and his way, it seems to work. So I'm trying to follow a little bit his style.
What is his way then?
You know, for me, he just seems like he always tries to keep every situation as simple as possible and super calm. You know, I feel like every time you get too excited or you try to do something a bit erratic, you always seem to make mistakes. And you know, it's not just Aki, but the whole team, they almost have the same style that like, you go out, you do your job, and if you do your job properly, the results will come.
Now the middle part of the season, there was a lull. I will say lull, it was two races. You had obviously Assen where you made your first mistake really of the year in the race there. And then in Sachsenring where it was tricky conditions. Were there any worries at that point?
You know, Assen I wouldn't say upset with myself, but I was a bit disappointed that I actually messed up, because I had gone for so long not really making any mistakes. And then in Assen, you know, I saw a rider on my outside and I was scared he was going to close on me. So I really opened the throttle way too early, which I should never have done. And I had a little moment and ended up running off track. So there I finished 12th. But then we arrived to Sachsenring. I was really strong all weekend again. And it poured the rain in the race. And my team, you know, they just said, you know, go out, get some points. Because the conditions, as you know, were terrible. So after that, I mean, since then, I've finished second or first every race except for Brno, where I was winning by a few seconds and I crashed with the four laps to go or something. So yeah, second half season's been sweet.
Sweet is the right thing, but do you feel being a champion will change you?
Not really, like, no, definitely not actually. You know, I expected, the only thing that's changed is I do a bit more media stuff. Other than that, everything is exactly the same, eh?
What have been the key races for you this year? We've talked about Jerez, but is there anywhere else that you felt have been crucial to your title?
I think, other than Jerez, obviously, I'd say Silverstone helped a lot because I won the race and Navarro didn't finish. Same thing in Misano. So, you know, same thing in Mugello. So, you know, there's a few. One thing that I really, when my competitors crashed, I always managed to take a big advantage because I almost always won the race when Navarro or Bastianini had crashed out of the race. And I think that's what helped a lot.
And did you see Navarro as your biggest challenger at the start of the year?
At the beginning of the year, for sure. I mean, he was there every weekend. Unfortunately for him, with the injuries and all of that stuff he's had this year, it's been a lot more difficult the second half of the season. But, you know, now you've got guys like Bastianini who have come on so strong, and I just want to try to keep them all behind me.
How hard has it been for you to get to this point in your career?
You know, for me, the goal has always been to just try and make it into MotoGP. But I think it was more hard for my parents, to be honest. You know, for me, okay, I didn't really have a normal childhood because I was always in Europe or traveling racing. But, you know, I don't mind. This is the way I wanted to be. But, you know, for my parents, they made so many sacrifices. Like, my mom lived in Europe with me for 2 years while my dad was at home in home with my brother in South Africa. And obviously, it's crazy. You know, the amount of things they did to get me here where I am today it's insane, and I can't thank them enough.
Because you were a Red Bull rookie, weren't you? What were you doing before that?
Before Red Bull Rookies Cup, I did a couple of races in Aprilia Super Teens. I think it was called the Thundersport Championship or something. I did that when I was 12. So me and my dad rocked up to England, bought an Aprilia on the Wednesday, went to a track on the Thursday, put the road fairings on the thing and then raced. So that was a lot of fun. I mean, I really enjoyed it. And that was about it, actually.
And where did the passion for motorcycling come from then?
You know, before I was even born, I had bikes waiting for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my old man is he's crazy about bikes and cars. So, you know, I think 2 years in advance, before I was even big enough to step up a class, I had the bike ready there waiting. So
Was it a Triumph? Because he loves his Triumphs, doesn't he?
I don't know. You know, my dad loves all bikes, just as long as they're old. They've got to be old.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you had a classic bike waiting for you when you were a kid?
No, I had a little Peewee 50 stuck in between all the classics.
And was there much scope in South Africa to ride as a kid?
You know, when I was much younger, there was a lot of kids racing in South Africa. You know, when I was in the 50cc class, there were 30 of us that would line up on the weekend. As I got a little bit older, things really died out. But at the beginning, it was incredible. You know, there was so many kids, and it was always, you know, I used to enjoy going and playing with my mates more than the racing almost.
Oh, really? So what about this in South Africa? Can you see the impact? What's it been like?
You know, I think it's been good. It's a bit strange. Like, some of my mates that don't really even watch bike racing all of a sudden are MotoGP fans, you know? It's a bit strange in a way, but I think it's definitely good for racing in South Africa, and I hope this can maybe try and open up a few more doors for some more South Africans to try getting some MotoGP.
Yeah, it's to be hoped, because what about the names Cork Ballington and John Ekerol? What do they mean to you?
You know, obviously they were quite a long time before I even knew what a bike was.
Before you were even born?
Way before I was born. But last weekend I got to meet Cork Ballington, and he's 100% South African. It was cool to see. Because, you know, I think a lot of people, when they move to Europe, they kind of, I don't know, they change. They lose a bit of the South African in them. But I don't want to do that.
No.
And it's good to see he never.
So what makes a real South African then? A South African racer.
Right, the way we talk is a bit different.
No, we know that much.
Yeah, I don't know. Just the way we go about things is a bit different, I suppose.
Yeah. Obviously, you're moving to Moto2 next year. How are you feeling about that move? Because for every Marc Marquez and Maverick Vinales, there's also been a Sandro Cortese or Alex Marquez or Danny Kent from our point of view. So how do you avoid going the way that they have at the moment?
You know, I'm going into next season with an open mind. I'm not, I'm going there, I'm going to give my 110%. And if I go out there and I finish 20th in the first race or I finish, I don't know, fifth, you never know. I'm just going there with the plan to work hard every weekend, you know, stick to my program. And I'm sure if I carry on working as hard as I have in Moto3, I don't know if it will take a few races or a few years, but I'm sure I can arrive to the top there too.
How important is it then to be as part of the IO team? We'll talk about KTM in a second, but the IO team that's taken Johan Zarco to one, maybe two world titles in the class. How key is that?
You know, I'm so fortunate to be going up to Moto2 with one of the, well, in my eyes, the best team in Moto2. You know, it's great because I always try to, well, basically last year I shared a crew chief with Zarco. Mm. So when you watch how they work and everything, I've really tried to learn from it and try to stick almost a similar, do things in Moto3 similar to the way they do it in Moto2. Like, the guy in Moto2 that wins the race is always the guy with the super rhythm, you know? It's not really about one lap. And that's what I've been trying to work on this year. And I feel like I've made a good step in this direction, and hopefully in Moto2 I can get better at it.
What are your expectations for the KTM? You've had your first go on it now, haven't you?
I haven't, no.
Have you not had a go yet?
No, I wish I had.
So what are your expectations then for that bike?
You know, from what I've heard, it's really good. We're lucky enough to have Zarco ride the bike in Aragon, and he said he really likes the bike. So he said he had really good feeling and he was really fast as well. So, you know, I think if it comes down to anything, it's going to be me riding terribly and the bikes are going to be all right, you know. In my eyes, I'm sure the bikes are already at 100%.
On a personal level, what have you learnt about yourself this year?
I don't know, I seem to deal quite well when things don't go according to plan, you know. I try not to think too much about the future. I just try to deal with everything as it comes, day by day. You know, when you go to sleep at night, sweet, the day's over. When you wake up in the morning, start again. And in this way, I find like I don't really have too much stress. And I just go about everything in a more simple way, and it works out good for me.
You don't want to talk about the future, but what about MotoGP in the future?
Oh, that would be good. I hope I get to MotoGP.
You weren't tempted to go straight up there like Jack did?
Well, if I had an option, maybe. but I definitely didn't. So, you know, but I want to go to Moto2. I was lucky enough to have 10 laps on Zarco's bike in Valencia at the end of last year. And, you know, I rode this thing and I was like, yo, it's strong and it's heavy. So going straight up and adding 100 horsepower to that, I think, would be insane. So, yeah, I'm happy to be going to Moto2, that's for sure.
But will it happen? Will MotoGP happen?
I hope so. Like, I definitely plan on getting to MotoGP. I hope my results are good enough. And then if we can get there, I'll be stoked.
Brilliant, Brad. Well, congratulations on what's been a fantastic season in 2016. And long may it continue into Moto2 next year.
Thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure.
Thanks.
What a top lad Brad Binder is, and makes you just miss the bikes, doesn't it? But don't worry, MotoGP will be with you on your screens in no time.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OSEAMalibu.com, code MOM.